Needless to say, there have been many books written about President Donald Trump. Many of those claim to hold a much sought-after inside story, when in fact they're hearsay evidence, which would be quickly dismissed in any court of law, okay, except for maybe the Ninth Circuit. But anyway, my next guest has stepped forward with the story of the Trump presidency through actual firsthand, face-to-face time spent with pretty much all the major players, including President Trump, resulting in an examination and presentation of how and why policies and decisions have happened. His book is Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency. He's a best-selling author of over 30 books and an advisor for two presidents. Also served on senior staff at the White House. Doug Weed, how are you today, Doug?
Hey, great. Thank you for having me.
A couple of websites for the book. It's inside Trump'sWhiteHouse.com. And learn about the rest of Doug's work, Doug Weed, WEAD.com. And yes, we have those linked over at our page as well. Just for a foundation for the listener, when I say all access, what level of access did you have to the players that you write about in Inside Trump's White House?
Well, it took them about a year to decide because they'd been burned many times. But when the president finally gave the green light, he said, I could talk to anybody. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, well, Doug wants to talk to them, every member of the cabinet. The president said, good idea. So I spoke with the hostages they brought home. Mostly, I didn't get to a lot of the cabinet officers and others because mostly the book is filled with interviews with the president and his family, with Jared and Ivanka, who had hardly been touched, and Eric and Laura and Don Jr. and Tiffany, and on it goes.
What was your goal? Was it a explanation or an examination of the Trump administration?
My goal was to capture what they had to say for history. I sat down with Ivanka Trump when we first started discussing the book, and I said, you know, in a couple hundred years when you're gone and your grandchildren are gone, they'll still be writing books about the Trump family. But whether they're viewed hatefully like the Borgias or the Bitchies, a family of power and money, or whether they're celebrated like the Kennedys or the Rockefellers, it will all depend on primary sources. It won't matter what these anonymous sources have written and said and all the hearsay stories. What will matter is what you say and what the president says and the people involved that were in the room. And I would like to record those voices. That was my goal.
And it was indeed mission accomplished, as you'll see when you read Doug's book, Inside Trump's White House. Is it as simple of the fact that Trump has so much against him, the news media, the Washington machine, and many others? Do they just not understand this is not a politician in the Oval Office? This is a CEO, and this is how you run things in a successful business operation, no matter what the industry happens to be?
Oh, they understand. He's the enemy because he's turning around the economy. What I've learned in 40 years working for two presidents as an advisor and interviewing six presidents of the United States, seven first ladies, what I've learned is that the name of the game is and always has been monopoly. So they use special interests, Republican and Democrats, and they use regulations to keep you from starting a business. They keep you out. And then when there's a recession, they pass what they call stimulus bills, which allows them to be exempted from very regulations that keep you from starting your own business. So they don't have to keep them either. It's that those bills are passed in the name of creating jobs, but they suspend the regulations that help create the monopoly. And then you add a layer over that. They're all multinational companies, and they have their deals with China, and they own the media. And the ones that don't own the media sponsor the media, all the news shows, and the think tanks, and the pundits who write those special papers get grants from these same companies. So that's why they hate Donald Trump. He's turning over the tables. He's breaking the dishes. He's restoring free markets. He's deregulating.
So with Doug Weed, his new book, Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency, InsideTrumpsWhiteHouse.com, and Doug Weed, WEAD.com, are the respective websites. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Does Trump doesn't seem to, I mean, his image is he's ego-driven, but when you look at how he was counted down and out, he put down two political dynasties, the Clinton and the Bush dynasties. He never really leans on that. He's always looking forward, it appears.
Yeah, he's been waiting to do this all his life. He didn't want to do it.
And didn't have to do it.
Didn't have to do it. Ivanka and the kids say they remember playing around his desk as children when he'd read the morning newspaper and he'd be so agitated and he'd rip out articles and underline things and file things. And he kept hoping over the years that somebody else would run for president that would clean it all up, and he surely believed they would. And finally reached a point where nobody would do it. And he was just so totally outraged by what he saw as no-brainers. I mean, China, for example, with the Bushes, who I worked for 40 years, and the Clintons and Obama, we had 20, 30 years of the largest transfer of wealth outside of the Middle East in world history. And that's money from the American middle class to China, uninterrupted. And he had to do something to stop the flow.
They always want to debate, and people always want to examine the quote-unquote the Trump way. And they get all these deep analytical studies and, as you said, papers, and the list goes on. Is it just something as simple as saying what he's going to do, and then he does it? Maybe as a best example, declaring Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. President after president promised and said, we should, we ought to, and Donald Trump comes in and says, I'm going to, and I just did.
Yeah, I asked him about that. You know, I said, how come? I mean, five presidents, and I'll never forget George W. Bush. He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on the first day that I'm president, and he didn't do it. So I asked Donald Trump, why did you do it, and what did you find out when you became president that made them not do it? And here was the deal, as it was explained to me. There were two ideals and goals. One is peace in the Middle East, and the second one was to move the American embassy to Jerusalem, because that's what the Israelis themselves claimed as their capital and the appropriate thing to do. But you couldn't do the second one if you wanted peace in the Middle East, because there would be no peace in the Middle East if you moved the embassy. So they always started with trying to get peace in the Middle East. So when Donald Trump's president, he's told by Emmanuel Macron, if you move the embassy, there will be war in the Middle East. He's told by President Erdogan of Turkey, I promise you, there will be hundreds of thousands of people die. If you move the embassy, there will be war in the Middle East. So Trump thought about it. He said, you know, all these presidents, that was their two goals, move the embassy and peace in the Middle East. They never get either one. I think I'll move the embassy. Maybe I'll still get peace, too, but at least I'll get one of them. So he moved the embassy, and there was no war in the Middle East.
Just as with all the financial and tax reform ideas that he came through, there was no collapse of the U.S. economy, was there?
No, and that's so fascinating. That's another reason why a lot of egos are online here. And it's not just money, it's ego too. Because, yes, we all know famously how they predicted he wouldn't win the election and were proven wrong. But there were a few outliers like the LA Times that had it right. But when it came to the economy, they were 100% the greatest economists in the world were absolutely united. There wasn't a single one who broke away and said, well, I think Trump's got an idea here that'll work. All of them were absolutely convinced the economy would collapse and it would fail, and they were all proven wrong.
Wrapping our time with Doug Weed with his new book, Inside Trump's White House, InsideTrumpsWhiteHouse.com, Doug Weed, WEAD.com, here on Issues and Ideas. Last point with China, because a lot of people, again, are saying or misunderstanding, just don't get what's going on here, at least by my view of the situation. Oh, he's angering China. China's going to lay the hammer down. They'll destroy the farming industry. Well, yeah, he's not angering China, in my view. He's challenging them. And you know what? China's still sitting at the table last time I looked.
Yeah. Well, you know, China has stolen $600 billion in intellectual property. They pay back their debts with cheap dollars. They deflate and degrade their own currency so that they can borrow rich dollars and pay back with cheap dollars. They're well connected to the Bush family. I know I worked with them. Well connected to the Clintons. Your listeners can Google ChinaGate and read the story of how the Chinese government flooded the Clinton Legal Defense Fund with money from China itself. And it became a scandal and was an investigation of the special prosecutor. You remember Al Gore and the Buddhist monastery.
Sure.
Where you had nuns making $1,000 contributions. So it's been crony capitalism at its worst. And when Donald Trump was a businessman and he was told that the only place in the world he could buy windows for his new building he was building was China, he said, something's wrong here. And the American middle class has been descending in poverty through Republican and Democrat administrations, with sponsored by powerful lobbies, driven by profits from these big companies who have their deals with China. And then you add academia. That's all Chinese. I mean, the only people who pay full fare at Harvard or Stanford are Chinese students. Everybody else gets a break. So they're totally dependent on China.
What Doug does with Inside Trump's White House, the real story of his presidency, is he reveals reality of the president of the United States, his actions, his ideals, his priorities, and how he progresses and accomplishes what he says he's going to do. And you also get, again, inside, equally truthful, factual, inside revelations about the people around the president, his children, son-in-law Jared Kushner, many others. Equally as important with Doug's book, he dispels and extinguishes the fires that are created by the myths and the innuendo, second, third-hand knowledge that some in, I guess, Congress maybe apparently considers to be valuable testimony, but I think you and I understand it to be exactly what it is, not worthy of time or attention. But Doug's book indeed is Inside Trump's White House, The Real Story of His Presidency, InsideTrumpsWhiteHouse.com. Doug Weed, WEAD.com. Doug, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it very much.